Let's take our Bibles and turn back to Luke chapter 2, if you will please, the Christmas story. I want to ask you the question, are you ready for Christmas? And we're going to read this account of one of the lesser known Bible characters at that first Christmas. In fact, it's a story of a man who could not die before Christmas. Could not die before Christmas. Chapter 2, verse 25. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this celebration time so far as we offer you worship and praise and glory and adoration, and all glory belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. We thank you for this season of the year when we especially remember your gift and the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, for his life, for his atoning, substitutionary death. Thank you for the work of salvation so great. We want to give you praise and glory. I pray as we turn to your word today, the Holy Spirit help us to see something that would stir our hearts and prepare us for the coming of the Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm reading in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25 about this man named Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. We don't know a whole lot about him, whether he's a Levite or however he was occupied in this matter of being in the temple. But he was a just man and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. They were waiting for the Messiah, the Christ. He was waiting for the kingdom. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He knew that before he closed his eyes in death, he was going to see the Messiah. And so God had promised this, and he was looking for the first coming. And that made an impact on his life. And he gives us a couple of adjectives that we're going to look at here, some characteristics about this man Simeon, who was waiting for the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ought to be true about us who say we're waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are similarities between his first coming and his second coming. His first coming literally fulfilled the prophecies of his coming. He literally came. And his second coming will be literal also. The angel said to those who were standing there watching him and gazing as he went up into heaven, why do you stand here gazing up? The same Jesus who you see going in this way will come back in like manner. So we had Christmas phase one, and we're looking for Christmas phase two. So there's some similarities and there's some differences, because the first time he came for the crucifixion. But the next time he's coming, it's for a coronation. The first time he came, there was no room in the inn. The next time he's coming, he's going to inherit the whole earth. The first time he came to a stable. Next time he's coming with a scepter, to rule as the judge. And so the Christ that came at Christmas is coming again. It has to be that way, or the story that we read here in Luke will be incomplete, because the purpose, the incarnation without the coronation, is purposeless. It's the next coming that's going to show the whole thing. It's incomplete unless you understand that Jesus Christ is coming again. So there's some characteristics that are true about Simeon here that I'm saying should be true about us if we're anticipating the Lord's Christ. So I want to look at some of these things and ask you, are you prepared for Christmas? So what about Simeon? Well, the first thing I want you to notice, he was a saved man. Verse 25, it says that Simeon was just. He was just. Just. Well, there's only one way to be just. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only through Christ. For we have no righteousness of our own. Romans 5:1 there says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his atonement. So you might say, well, preacher, how could he be just through Christ when he's not even seen Christ? Well, because he, in that Old Testament period, were looking forward to Christ just as we look backward to Christ and what he did at Calvary. John 12:32, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, all men should be drawn unto me. So now we look up to Jesus, to the cross, and to what he did at Calvary. So I'm just trying to say that this man was ready for Christmas because, number one, he was saved. He calls him a just man. And I want to ask you, are you ready for Christmas? Are you born again? Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You won't know the king until you receive the king as your savior. So all of these songs that we sing are so great, so sentimental, no room, no room. Well, what about you? Has there been room in your heart? Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in? You repented of your sin and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your savior? If you haven't, you are not ready for Christmas. You haven't begun to be ready for Christmas. If you don't let heaven come into your heart before you die, you won't go to heaven after you die. He said, it says of Simeon, he was just. He had room in his heart. He was waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the only way to be just. The Bible says in Isaiah 64, all of our righteousness, not our bad things, all the right things we do, all the good things we do are as filthy rags. Everything that you do, apart from receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, is counted as filthy rags. And I think one of the things that's in Christmas programs, people come with an arrogance and a pride. And they look at the story that's being portrayed and they hear the gospel message that's been given, but they think, well, that's for those people. That's for the murderers. That's for the drunkards. That's for the sinful people. No. The Bible says all have sinned. And all of your goodness is as a filthy rag. It's of contaminated. So the worst form of badness is human goodness when it keeps you from receiving God's grace gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. You're not ready for Christmas. So don't get distracted. The only way to be righteous is, no matter how good you are, that you realize that you're not good enough apart from what God has given you through Jesus Christ. So the unsaved person contaminates everything that he touches. He doesn't know that. You can do nothing good as far as God and spirituality is concerned. You take a person that has a sore on their hands, a running sore, and they fix a Christmas pudding with that syrup. Nothing wrong with the syrup and the cake and the raisins and all of that. But would you want it if somebody with sore, running sores prepared it? No, I wouldn't. The Bible says everything you do has been contaminated. Even if you're a farmer, even if you just go out and plow, which everybody says that's good to do. No, but it's sin if you don't recognize that God is the one to give you the crop. If you don't have a relationship and a worship with God, everything you do, even if it's good, in man's sight, it's still worthless as far as God is concerned. So all have sinned. And that's why we need Christmas. Here was a man who was ready for Christmas because he was saved. They said just. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said that he, that's God the Father, made him, that's God the Son, who knew no sin, become sin, that we, that's the sinner, might be made righteous, have the righteousness of God in him. That's the only way that you'll be just. It's to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, he was a saved man. Number two, he was a surrendered man. He calls him devout. I mean, his watching and waiting and anticipating Jesus Christ's coming, the Messiah's coming, affected the way he lived. He was a devout man. How long has it been since you've heard anybody called devout? It's an adjective we don't use anymore. Devout. He's a devout deacon. He's a devout Sunday school teacher. He's a devout deacon. We don't use, or preacher. We don't use that word anymore. Perhaps we should. But it just simply means that God was first in his life, and he lived with that idea that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, might come at any moment, and it affected his life. Every day, he was ready for Jesus. So, are you ready for Christmas? Are you saved? Are you surrendered? Are you surrendered, and are you Spirit-filled? So, verse 25 says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. You see, it's possible to be saved and not spiritual. It's possible to be saved and not live spiritual. Are you saved and are you surrendered? Is the Holy Spirit not only resident, is he president in your life? The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, and he came into the temple. He was led by the Spirit into the temple. So the why and the how he was devout is because he was looking for the appearing of the Savior. Are you looking for the Savior to come before the 25th of December? It'll change the way you live, the Bible tells us. It'll be the difference between you going through this Christmas season soaring or sagging. A lot of folks are at the end of the Christmas season are sagging. You know, they got a headache and they got a footache and their wallet is palpitating and they're just down. They're trying to be happy. They know they're supposed to be happy, but they just can't quite work it up. I suspect that it's a miserable time for a lot of folks, but you're supposed to be happy. Well, if you are filled with the Spirit and you're anticipating the Lord to come, that will bring to you a joy that the world cannot give. And Christmas season that we talk about will not be helping you in that area. So not only is he saved and surrendered and spiritual, but he's a sensitive man. Verse 26, and it had been revealed to him. Here was a man to whom God could speak. Are you spending time in the Word at this busy Christmas time? Are you open? Are you sensitive to the Lord speaking? You know what Simeon means? It means the hearing one. The one that hears. He was that kind of a man that God could speak to. I don't think he was the only one. The Bible doesn't tell us all the people that were sensitive to his coming. It does tell us in a few verses there was Anna. She was a woman that the Lord spoke to. It tells us about the wise men. It talks about the shepherds. So there were those people that God was speaking to, but for the most part, everybody just went on their way and unaware of it. And most obvious, the religious crowd were callous and insensitive. They didn't even understand what was going on, what was happening. So, the Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals it to his secrets to his servants, unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Everything God gets ready to do, he reveals then to his prophets. If you read any of the modern fellows that we respect, the modern commentators or Bible scholars that we respect, to a man, they say, get ready. The Lord could come. The Lord is coming. Are you hearing what God is saying? Are you sensitive? The problem with us is during this season, we get so busy, we don't even spend time to hear, to listen. If we do pray, we rush in before God and we say, speak, or listen, Lord, your servant speaks. Rather than speak, Lord, your servant hears. I'm listening to God. Are you spending time that way? Here's a whimsical poem that I want to read to you. It tells a truth. We mutter and sputter and fume and spurt. We mumble and grumble. Our feelings get hurt. We can't understand things. Our vision grows dim when all that we need is a moment with him. If we just slow down and listen. So, all right, he's saved, surrendered, spiritual, sensitive. Are you ready for Christmas? Are you making that check off? That's a check off list. How you doing? And then he was a satisfied man. We'll go on to read verse 27. So he came by the Spirit. Notice he's following the Lord, the Spirit. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up into his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. In fact, what he's saying is, Lord, I'm ready to go now. Thank you, Lord, I've seen your salvation. Verse 31, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Simeon was a man that knew there were dark days out there. There was times of suffering coming. There was a cross out there in the future. What kind of a Jesus did he see? I want you to understand this. It's important for us this Christmas. You've got to understand that the Christmas goes beyond the sentiment that so often we enjoy. It goes on beyond the cradle and the beautiful baby and the songs that we sing. Be careful, because the giddy crowd back then, remember when Jesus came in, riding on a donkey into the holy city, they got all in a tiz. They got the palm branches and saying, hail him, Hosanna, Hosanna. But by the end of the week, that same crowd was saying, nail him, crucify him. They didn't understand. There's a lot of folks going to gather around this scene that we pray at Christmas time, the baby in the manger, and they're going to get all excited about that. But you know what? The same crowd, New Year's Eve, is going to sing, Old Lang's Eye, drunk as a skunk. Hail him at Christmas, crucify him by the week's end. They're going to miss the whole point of it. But here was a satisfied man. He says, now I have seen your salvation. Wow. His connection with the Lord brought him satisfaction. A lot of folks are going to go through Christmas season, and Christmas night is the most let-down day of the year. Everybody's opened their presents. Oh, there's packages, there's wrappings left, and it's just such a big letdown. I want to tell you, the joy that lasts in this season is to know Jesus, to know him as your Savior. He'll give you a joy that lasts. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desire of your heart. Folks don't understand what they're desiring. They think it's some kind of a package or this big celebration we go through for Christmas, but that isn't it. I don't think you really know what your heart desires until you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you'll find that joy that only Jesus can give. So be careful of getting caught up in the emotion of it. So he's the Christ of deliverance. He's the Christ of the cross. And then second, he's the Christ of delight. Verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which have you have prepared before all people, a light. The old world is getting darker and darker. He's the light. How wonderful that is. And I need to rush on. He's the Christ of destiny. Verse 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Did you notice that? Some are going to fall because of him, and some are going to rise because of him. If you don't get saved, Christmas to you is not good news, it's bad news. Because God has given a way of salvation, and you're going to neglect him. And if you don't rise with him, you'll fall without him. Have you ever played that old game back when you were a kid, hide and seek? Ready or not, here I come. That's what it'll be when the Lord Jesus comes this next time. He's just going to come. Are you ready? If you don't meet him as your Savior, you will meet him as your judge. Some are going to rise with him, and some will fall without him. Romans 14:11, as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow, every tongue confess to God. So he's the Christ of destiny, and then he's the Christ of derision. Verse 34 says, then Simeon blessed them. His mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall, rising of Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Not everybody loves Christmas. Not everybody loves Jesus. Excuse me. As you have just witnessed in Nuevo, as I was down in a foreign city down south and saw on the national news, the wife's been on top of the school and the big fuss about that. Not everybody loves Christmas. You just go to school and try to talk about Jesus. It's not politically correct. They don't want to hear it in a public square. Not everybody loves Jesus. Not everybody loves what I'm preaching this morning. They don't. Jesus is always spoken against. Don't mention Jesus. Oh, there's a way you can talk about Jesus at Christmas and not have a response that's negative to you. Just talk about the babe in the manger, but don't talk about Christ on the cross. Just talk about the Savior coming to the world, but don't talk about the judgment if you don't receive the Savior. And so you can talk dishwater and people won't be upset with you, but he's the Christ of deliverance, the Christ of destiny, the Christ of derision. And Jesus said in John 12, don't be offended if people don't accept you. They hated me before they hated you. So we need to understand that. If they spoke against him, they'll speak against you if you speak for him today. And then he's the Christ of disclosure, verse 35. Christ of disclosure. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now, you college students, high school students, know what litmus paper is. Litmus paper is what you detect the presence of acids or alkali with. When they come in contact with that litmus paper, it changes colors. It's an indicator. It's a revealer. And Jesus Christ is like the litmus paper. When people come in contact with Jesus, it reveals what is in their heart. They'll receive or they'll reject, but it makes known what is inside their heart. So there'll be many that will rise or fall, and he'll be spoken against. So he's the Christ of disclosure. What you do with Jesus will determine what God does with you. It's always an amazement to me when people come and hear the gospel, who receives and who rejects. Is it the smart ones that walk out saying, not for me, I don't care about that. Who's he to say Jesus is the only way? And the dumb ones accept? No. You show me a brilliant man that rejects, I'll show you a brilliant man that receives. There's a lot of college professors and lawyers and doctors and Indian chiefs and surgeons and so forth that receive the Lord. Very intelligent, very well educated, and a lot of folks who haven't had the opportunity to get well educated, but they love the Lord too. But you show me a stupid man that loves the Lord, I'll show you a stupid man that doesn't love the Lord. It's not a matter of your intelligence or your education, it's a matter of your heart. Jesus reveals your heart. Amen. It's not the gospel, it's your response to it. So are you ready for Christmas? I need to close this. It's a simple message. God gave you a gift of salvation, and it's the only way. I am the way. Without him, there's no way. I am the truth. Without him, there's no knowing. I am the life. Without him, there is no life. It's just that simple, that very plain. They tell me there's only three primary colors. But look what Michelangelo did. There's only 10 basic numbers, but Einstein split the atom. You look at the formulas that they come up with. There's only 7 notes in the music scale. But you heard Sharon play those 7 notes. They came out in a wonderful song. Well, this is plain and simple. There are only 272 words in Gettysburg Address. John 3:16 only has 26 words, 21 are one syllable. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, would not perish, but have life everlasting. What about that cannot anybody understand? You can understand it. How you respond reveals what's in your heart. It's not a matter of education and enculturation. It's not a matter of your intelligence. It's a matter of your heart. And the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't even know how bad your heart is, but your response shows it. How are you going to escape if you neglect so great salvation? You're not. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Would you be saved? It's for you. You're the one. As we sing our song of invitation, if you'd receive Jesus Christ into your heart, is there room in your heart for Jesus? Would you turn to him today, repent of your sin, and receive God's gift of salvation? It's a grace gift. God did it. God paid for it by the blood of his son. It's already for you. Will you receive him today? Father, thank you for your word. How wonderful it is. As we pose this question, may the Holy Spirit speak to hearts today. Are you saved? If not, why not? Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.